beliefs, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. August the 4th, 2017. The Lord is making another one. Appreciate you all tuning in. I'm sorry I'm not looking at the camera. I'm doing a little bit of Googling over here. Jared, I got a thing. Something popped up here on my screen anyway. Maybe I need to get that thing down. You're working on that. Jared's always doing some good work for me behind the scenes. I'm trying to see. There it is. Okay, good. Got my computer up and rolling here. Had a little rain last night. Slept through it. The thunder and lightning hit. My dog's up on top of the bed. The cat's up on top of the bed. Only one slept through it, I think, was my wife. And it's all good. It's all cool. Got a lot of good stuff I want to share with you today. Big day ahead. Michelle and I go to Lima, Ohio for Pastor Mike Spalding's event. Excited to be there. Starts at 7 o'clock tonight. And Michael Bodea is going to be there. Coach Dave's going to be there. Russ Dizdar is going to be there. I don't know. I spoke to John Robertson last night. I don't know if John's not going to be able to be there. I think Joe Hagman is, but I'm not sure. But anyway, it's free. If you live close at all, come on down, join us at Lima, Ohio. The information is on our website. And we got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to yield here for a couple minutes to the commander of the Salt and Light Brigade, Kevin. Let him straighten this out here, Kevin, on what's going on.
Thanks, Coach. As Coach said, Lima this weekend, tickets are free. Just go to SoaringEagleRadio.com to get registered. I'm sure if you show up tonight without registering, they'll probably still let you sit in there. End of the month, Estes Ranch in Texas, August 26th and 27th. We have it on our CoachDaveLive.com/events page. Chad and his lovely wife, Michelle, are going to host another monthly get-together. So reaching out for our Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma folks. Try to get.
I'm going to make the trip. I'm making the trip down there for that one, Sarge. I'm going to go down and be part of it.
So everybody get a chance to meet Coach, so join them. Just a reminder for our October events. We still have scheduled Thursday night, the 26th, up in Marshfield, Wisconsin, at Rob Pugh's new Salt and Light Brigade Regional Headquarters. We hope to have Greg Evenson to join us. Those of you who followed him when he was pretty active on the Hagmans. He's got a wealth of knowledge, and we're going to be very pleased to have him with us. And then October 27th through the 29th, the boot camp in Milwaukee. Matt Chuel is going to join us, and we're going to be focusing on the doctrine of lower magistrates. Hopefully in a little while, we're going to have some discussions here on the show on what we're doing with the brigade with regards to that topic, along with the abortion issue. And then lastly, just a reminder, if you have not gone to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/CoachDaveLive. And everything that Coach is doing that we're able to capture with video, audio, articles, et cetera, it's one stop shop to get all the content from the brigade. So we hope you join us over there on that site. That's it, Coach.
Sarge, good stuff. Hey, folks, listen, I'm just going to make an appeal again. $20 a month from all of you would really, really help us out. We got a busy schedule, and we're expanding a little bit to the point where I don't travel alone anymore. I mean, I take my wife with me, but, yeah, Gary Pierce goes with me. Sarge tries to go with me. Here's one of our issues. Sarge is in Maine. That's not across the street. I don't know if you figured that out or not. Traveling expenses can pile up on us pretty quickly. We're putting material together like this stock card that we're going to hand out to people everywhere we go. Housing. Come on, folks. You know what it takes. Again, give us a donation. We'll get you a hat. We'll get you a hat. You just tell us which one of them you want. We'll shoot you a hat. And I got to reorder some shirts. Got some shirts coming in. But you want to start some conversations, put this dude on and wear that thing wherever you go. And people separate the sheep from the goats. I could give you Lindell's hat, but I don't think that people don't really want those too bad, Lindell. So I don't know about that one. So help us out here, folks, if you will. If you'd be kind enough to. I cannot believe it's August. Time just seems to fly. And, you know, I want to Yesterday was a good show, wasn't it? We got to talk about fatherhood and all that kind of stuff. I pondered a lot of that all day, and how we are so much a image of the one who raised us biologically, and of course the home in which we were raised. And you know, that father wound inside of all of us, sometimes that takes a long time for that thing to be able to go away. But the Paul Overstreet song, "Seeing My Father in Me," that's what excites me. See my Heavenly Father in me more and more every day. And my wife said, you know, "You're getting like your dad." Which I think that's a natural thing. I think that's a good thing. But hopefully the Holy Spirit comes in and I begin to resemble my Heavenly Father even more than I do my earthly father. I think that's a good thing. Hey, folks, we are surrounded by lies. We're just surrounded by lies. You know, I just, all you got to do, I get up in the morning. I think, I do some show prep every time I get up in the morning and I go through some stuff and I just shake my head. See, one of the places in my mind, one of the most, remember, the only weapon the devil has is deception. That's all he's got, man. You say, "Well, coach, he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy." Well, you better read that again, because that's the hireling pastor. That's John 10. Nowhere does it say that the devil comes to kill and to steal and destroy. And I hear people use that a lot. Now, I'll agree with you. He does come to kill and to steal and destroy. But the Bible doesn't say that, folks. The Bible doesn't say that. That Satan has come to kill and to steal and destroy. It says the thief has come to kill and steal and destroy. And that study that we did a couple weeks ago, I showed you that the thief is the hireling pastor, the one who is sitting in the place of the prophet but isn't. He isn't. That's the thief, okay? So a lot of what's happening in our lives is happening to us because of the master deceit, master deception. And it's everywhere you look. You look in the media, it is just absolutely full of lies, dare I say it, on both sides. Why? Because we live in an age, and we live in a country especially, I mean, you can lie and get away with it. A politician can lie and get away with it, right? If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan. It was called the Affordable Care Act. Now we know that all was a lie. That all was a lie. Nobody does anything. No. There's no consequences to lying. Hillary Clinton and all the things that she did with her, with the emails and all that, and all the cover up, and it's all lies. And it's like, you look around and say, won't anybody stand up and tell the truth? Won't anybody hold him to account? Remember, it tells us in Isaiah 56 that the Lord's angered, that there is no justice. There's no judgment. And when he comes back, the book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, when he comes back riding on that white horse, in righteousness, he's going to judge and make war. Why won't we? And think about the deception in the church, where Christians now are repeating the lie, "We're not to judge." Christians, you hear Christians say that all the time. Now, where could Christians possibly come up with the idea that we're not supposed to judge? Other than some lie crept in somewhere and somebody repeated the lie. And as Hitler said, you repeat a lie long enough, loud enough, and it eventually becomes the truth. Planned Parenthood, they're for women's health care. What? Come on, we know that, right? Even the left knows that's not true. We know that's not true. Lies are everywhere. They're everywhere. That's the battle that we face. And so much of the battle that we face is self-deception. You're deluding yourself, guys. See, I came to this profound thought, yuck, that just because you believe something doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it true. And you get in an argument with somebody or a discussion with somebody, or use whatever term you want to with it, and they will not change their mind because they believe it. And because they believe it, it becomes truth to them. But it's not true. And Jesus told us specifically that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But I'd like to rephrase that a bit, not adding or taking away anything. Jesus said, if you know the truth, not hear it, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. So I hear people say, well, the truth will set you free, brother. That's not true. That is not true. The truth only sets you free if you know it and acknowledge it. Then you're free, see. And I, you know, one of the things I'm struggling with, and I, you know, this is probably going to get me in trouble, but I see this fight coming. I see this fight coming. And guys, I don't have a good answer to you because it's another lie. Well, there's several lies. Lie number one, just telling you, this is truth, okay? I'm giving you some truth. The government has no right to tax you. They have no right to do that. They don't have the right to do it. When the founders set up the Constitution, there was no income. It had to be a direct tax. It couldn't tax one guy more than another. This income tax, a state income tax, and sales tax, guys, that's not biblical nor constitutional. Sorry. Well, now direct taxes, like they can tax my hat. They could do that. They can't tax my income. It's the way that they've made everything controllable by them. And the whole idea that, now listen, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. Question I got to ask myself, we all have to begin to ask ourselves, what belongs to God? Does anybody have an answer to that? Can somebody tell me what belongs to God? I'm waiting. What belongs to God? Okay, I'll answer for you. Everything.
Everything.
Everything belongs to God. If everything belongs to God, then listen, I'm just telling you. I'm trying to give you some truth, and I'm seeking out the truth myself. Am I going to stand before Almighty God, and he's going to say to me, Coach, why did you continue to pay your taxes and fund that abortion? Why'd you do that? And I'm going to say, well, because I didn't want to go to jail. Oh, so you compromise, you sell out, protect your own hide. Coach, don't you realize that they were taking all that money and they were putting people into bondage and they were killing little babies and they were killing innocent people in other countries and you continue to pay money to that? Is anybody with me on this? Because, see, this burdens me more than you know. Because I would tell you this, especially every dollar that comes into Pass Assault Ministries, it ain't none of the government's business. I'm telling you, it ain't none of their business. I thought there was a separation between the church and the state. So I struggle with these things. I don't get burdened by it. I don't sit around. I don't lie, cheat, I don't kill, steal, and destroy. But if we're going to dig into some truth, guys, we have got to dig into some truth. And one of the things that I want people to know about me is I cannot be bought. I cannot be bought. And I cannot be bought by the government for fear of imprisonment. I can't be bought. Am I with me on that? Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, most of it from jail. And why was he in jail? Because he wouldn't follow ungodly edicts and ungodly laws. But see, we're being taught in our churches that we're to obey an ungodly government. Anybody with me out there? You may not want to get on that list, right? But I believe as things get darker and darker and darker and darker and darker, these are issues that we are going to have to deal with, fellas.
I'm with you, Coach.
We're going to have to. It's going to be. Thanks, Serge.
I'm with you.
Right? You know, at some point in America, here's what I think. At some point in America, some churches, some pastors are going to have to stand up and say to the IRS, it ain't none of your business. Get the hell out of here. Now, there are going to be consequences to that. But the idea that I have to become subservient as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have to become subservient to government. Fellas, he said there'd be no other God before him. No other God. What do you think that means when he says that? No other God before me. And when we bow our knee to government, we are bowing our knee to another God. Somebody straighten me out here, because if I'm missing it, I sure want to know if I'm missing it. I know what Romans 13 says. I know Romans 13 says I got to obey the authorities. Not if they're not righteous, I don't. I don't have to obey authorities. It's not righteous. That's Go ahead, true. Rog. Go ahead, Rog.
He's muted.
Okay, I thought he tried to say so. So you know, you're going to come and prosecute me and throw me in jail and let Hillary go? And I'm going to support that system? Are you kidding me? How long? So you're going to let Comey get away with this and Hillary get away with this and you're going to let Nancy Pelosi, you're going to let all them get away with it? You're going to come after me? No thanks, baby. No. Yeah, Rod. Who was it? Rod's trying to get in.
I was just going to say, see, the greatest danger of what's happened in the last 9 months is the people are seeing that there is not equality in the enforcement of the law.
And the Lord doesn't like that, Roger. The Lord doesn't like that.
And once that becomes common amongst all the people, I believe that's when the chaos really starts playing in, because you cannot run a democracy, whatever you want to call us, where some people are charged and some people are not. That to me sows the seeds of revolution.
Because God himself is not a respecter of persons, right? So if Hillary Clinton is lying, she ought to get smacked just as hard as me. You know, they need two systems of justice. And we are living in a nation and in a country where our churches are supporting two systems of justice. Somebody say amen, so at least I know I got one friend out there. You understand what I'm saying?
See,
the churches are the problem. The churches are the ones who are permitting the government to act the way they act. And why are the churches doing that? Because the churches don't mind giving their money to the government. Now, here's what we better ask. We ought to ask the Lord, Lord, you want us to? You want us to give our money to kill babies? Is that what you want us to do, Lord? Advance homosexuality, perversion in our schools? Lord, you want me to take some of the money, that hard-earned money that you blessed me with, and you want me to give it, get to need that process? Hey, fellas, I think this is serious stuff, man. I think it's serious. And I don't know how that got on me, but I just got it off of me and stuff I think we're going to have to ponder. Ezekiel 2. And then I got to, oh, it's going to be fun this morning. I want to be a little bit more lighthearted today. It's unusual for me. Yeah. Yep.
You know, you start talking off about the lies and the liars and all that. It just struck me that this is just confirmation of something that you talk about and cover all the time. Jesus told, you know, describing Satan, said he is a liar and the father of lies.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers have children.
Oh, a whole
bunch of liars and children of Satan running around. All those people,
brother,
everybody's a child of God. You are stinking stupid people. I'm telling you right now to your ears, you're stupid if you believe that.
Hey, Larry, how about this one? The scripture says not only is he a liar, but he's the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. When the devil opens his mouth, it's a lie. And I don't care what it is. How can I say that? Because there is no truth in him. He doesn't just tell lies. He's the father of lies.
Yeah,
he was a liar from the beginning. Do you understand this? There is no truth in him.
Now, even when Satan uses scripture, that scripture is a lie. So just because
some
of these preachers use scripture doesn't mean that they're telling the truth, because if they're not using that scripture properly, they are stinking lying to you.
Larry, no wonder. Yeah, George.
Hey, Coach, I think it's important, too, just to kind of reiterate for people out there that maybe haven't been following this type of thing for a while. This corruption has been going on for years and years and years, 70, 80 years. It's just now it's being brought out into the light.
Right. Thank God for the internet that we can now see it. Yes. So listen, I wonder if I go stand before the Lord. Guys, think of this now. Come on, stay with me here. I'm going to stand before the Lord. Yeah, my sins will be under the blood. But let's say there's a little bit of the Lord has a little bit. I don't know if this is even true. Let's say he has a little bit of a discussion with us before he says, all right, come on in. Or at the great white throne judgment, whenever that would be. He said to you, George, hey, George, let me tell you something, George. Would you be in trouble, George, if you paid to have your wife killed? And George, you'd say, well, yeah, I sure would. That's wrong. That's murder. George, would you be in trouble if you paid to have your son killed? And you would say, well, of course, Lord, I'd be in some serious trouble. I'll say, George, would you be in trouble if you paid to have somebody else's child killed? George, would you be in trouble if you knew somebody else's grandbaby was being killed and you didn't do anything to prevent it? What would you do, George? And so this whole idea, guys, see, we know they're killing babies. We know it. Just because we can't see it, or I didn't have anything to do with it, I wouldn't do it. I personally, I would never kill a baby. No, but you're paying for it. You're paying for it. I think it gets down to the rub of it, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable every day. Every day I pay taxes. I'm going to have to buy a new lawnmower. Big tractor not to put on the other one. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. So I went yesterday and guy gave me a really good deal, $1,500. I guess that's a good deal for a lawnmower, $1,500. I suppose I ought to get a push mower and get rid of my big fat belly. So I go on and talk to him and says, he says, $1,550. I says, okay, you got a deal. Except, what? Yeah, $75 in taxes. Well, what's that money going for? It's going to court systems that destroy families, take daddies out of their homes. It's going to a governmental system that encourages a laziness. It's going to a governmental system that it's involved with graft and stealing. You see where I am, fellas? To me, these are serious issues. I know it. Would it be better to go into jail and live in jail the rest of my life, an honest man, than look the other way and get 20 more good years? Anybody have an answer to that one?
Dave?
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, Raj?
I'm going to say Dave twice for Chad's sake. Here's the question I would play off of that a little bit. Are we better to know about all this stuff, or are we better just to go fishing a lot?
Well, it'd be easy to be safer for us to claim ignorance, wouldn't it, Roger?
Well,
but you're an attorney. You know that ignorance of the law is no excuse, don't you, Roger?
Yeah, but there's a time I wonder if I do too much of my time trying to be aware of things. Because sometimes I think the people that are not aware of things, they seem to be, doing a lot more fishing and golfing.
Okay, Roger, that's why I turned to Ezekiel 2 today. Are you ready, dude? Are you ready? Everybody ready? Anybody got anything to say before I slap you in the mouth and then we'll go have a little bit of fun here?
I was hoping that you were going to have the answer to that question, Coach.
Which question, Serge? Roger just said?
No, the one that you just asked before Roger asked his.
Well, I don't know if I have. I know the answer, Serge. I know the answer.
Well, you know, Coach, I got to repent because I'm one of those pastors that came to kill and destroy. Kill and destroy the denominations.
But Tim, you get what I'm saying, though, don't you? Don't you?
Man, anybody who's been to court against your denomination, or anybody who's been to court to stand up, knows it well. Oh, dude!
The Lord tells us, don't go to court, right? Don't go to court. Do everything you can to stay away from it.
Yeah, but I'm willing to fight. You got to fight somewhere. You got to pay the price to fight.
And Jesus said, hey, dude, count the cost. He said, don't you get halfway into a battle and figure out it's more than you're willing to pay. You better figure out before you enter into that ring if you're ready to get knocked down. Because we always enter into the ring thinking we're going to knock the other guy out. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes you lose teeth, right? So you got to count the cost, figure out what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do. And at some point, somewhere along the line, somebody is going to have to stand up and stop the tyranny on our children. Do you think tyranny is going to get less? Do you think it's going to get less and less and less and less? And so what's the church do? Obediently pay your taxes to kill babies and pray the rapture gets here in a hurry so we'll get out of this mess. I'm going to tell you this. There are none righteous, no, not one. And it's only by the grace of God that we're going to be able to enter into the kingdom. And know this, none of you deserve it. I don't deserve it. And it says somewhere in the scripture, who can resist so great a salvation? Who can resist it? And those of us who are saved, we don't really appreciate what's happened. See, we're not going to appreciate it till that day, when that day comes, and then we're going to see it. We say, oh, man, thank you, Lord. Right now, we don't get it. I'll say this without question. Somebody's going to argue with me. Government taxation, despite what your pastor told you, the paying of government taxes, I believe, is sin. I'm sorry. I believe it's sin. And so my struggle is with that premeditated sin every day, because I know it. I know for me to give one penny to Planned Parenthood is a sin. If I know what they're doing with it, it's a sin. For me to give one, for me to have to pay my property taxes, get your property tax, local property tax bill, and look at how much of your local property tax goes to fund your schools and ask yourself, why am I funding that bill? What am I going to say when I stand before the Lord? He said, Coach, you're giving that daggone school $200 a month, $300. I don't know what it is. They haven't valued this new place yet. We better hope for grace, don't you think, fellas? We better hope for grace, because I don't have much of a. If he puts me under on that courtroom, puts me under oath, I'm not going to have much to say. Coach, why did you? Let me ask you, prosecuting attorney. Coach Dave, did you pay your taxes? Yes, sir, I did. Every time I was supposed to, every penny, every dot and tittle. Coach Dave, did you understand that money was being used to kill babies? I'm under oath. Yes, sir, I did know. Coach Dave, why did you continue to pay it? And my response will be, I better have a good lawyer on that day, huh, Raj?
You don't want to go to jail.
I don't want to go to jail. So he'll say, well, then, Coach, you tell me that you can be bought then, huh? You can be bought. So if you can be bought, you ain't free. You're not free. And I appreciate all the donations that people give to Pass Assault Ministries, but I can't believe how many wouldn't give if it wasn't tax deductible. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Got to have that, get that government approval for it. Okay, we're in Ezekiel 2. Here's why, Roger. Here's why you can't go up to Lake Erie and sit there all the time. You ready? Ezekiel 2, and he said unto me, son of man, stand up, man. Get up here. Stand up on your feet, and I'm going to tell you something. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Wow, is that a powerful story? Ooh. And set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. You get this picture? Spirit says, stand up. The Spirit enters in him. Boom, he's on his feet. He said unto me, son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, America, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers, they've transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, stiff-hearted. But I send you unto them, and you're going to say to them, thus says the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they won't hear, forbear, for they are rebellious, yet know that there hath been a prophet among them. And you, Roger, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words, George. Though briars and thorns be with you, thou dost dwell among the scorpions, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be dismayed at their looks, nor, because they are a rebellious house. I'm going to add this, Larry. And they are of their father, the devil. And the works of their father they will do. And you, Roger, George, Serge, Ray, and you shall speak my words unto them. Whether they will hear or whether they don't hear. Because I'm telling you, they're rebellious. But you, O son of man, hear what I say unto you. Be not thou rebellious like those guys. Open your mouth and eat that which I give you. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was written therein. Once you eat this, here's your meal. He spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Best life now, fellas. Best life now. Hey, listen, before you get the good news, a lot of bad news. We'll say that again. That just came from the Lord. Before you get to the good news, there's a lot of bad news. You got to wiggle your way through all the bad news before you make it to the good news. And if you make it to the good news, then you're going to be set free, because you're going to know the truth. And the truth's going to be set free. Had you guys ever seen Ezekiel 2? Is that unbelievable? Ezekiel 3 is just as good as we keep on going. Because Ezekiel 3, well, let's go there, Jared. Remember, there are no chapter breaks. So what did he just say to me? Just heard him say, letter and lamentations and mourning and woe. And then he says, moreover, same letter. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat what I give you. Eat this roll and then go speak unto the house of Israel. Eat this thing, this lamentations and mourning and woe. You eat that and then you go belch it on everybody else. So I opened my mouth and he calls me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause your belly to eat and fill your bowels with this roll that I've given you. And then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey and sweetness. Tasted good. He said to me, son of man, go get thee out of the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of it. You're sent to your own people. Quit going to China. Sent to your own people. Not too many people of a strange speech in the hard line said that. But the house of Israel, they're not going to listen to you. But they will not listen unto me. For all of the house of Israel, all of the church are impudent and hard-hearted. And behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead is strong against their forehead. You're going to knock some heads, boys. And as adamant, harder than flint. I've given you a forehead of flint. So don't be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed at the way they look at you, because they are a rebellious house. And then moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto you, receive it into your heart and hear it with your ears, and then go and get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak it unto them and tell them. And thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear, yada, 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 yada. Boy, oh boy. You're a watchman of the wicked. Cool. All right, you want to have some fun? Anybody want to say anything here? Because that doesn't make you stand up and cheer. Except I'm trying to help you understand the seriousness of our faith. The seriousness of the truth. Truth is a serious thing. If it wasn't serious, why would the devil attack it? If you really are set free by truth, we really are. And you were the devil, wouldn't you try to block the truth, change the truth, lie about the truth, deceive about the truth? See, all he has to do is convince you that something that's true is not true, and he's got you. There's a lot of that going on, too. Courts can't make law. They just tell us they can, and we believe it, right? Abortion's murder. Now, they tell us it's not, and we believe them. And so we're in bondage. It's good, isn't it? It's just common sense good. So much of what we believe is not true. All right, Jared, let me see here. Nobody wants to say anything to me? Kick me under the table, Coach, or anything like that? Yes, yes. Yeah.
Coach, you know, that's why I think the grace message is so dangerous, because, and just like you said, one day we're all going to stand before the Lord and be held accountable for things like, hey, where have we paid our taxes? And yet the teaching today would be how they would refute you, Coach, and you know this. Oh, they'd say, yeah. Hey, brother, it's all under grace. Like it's a license to sin, and yet God will overlook it. And I, you're right. That's just not true.
It's just not true. I'm going to show you here. Every time Lord, please lead me to this. I think I know where it is. Please lead me to this, Lord, this morning. Hey, guys, listen. I'm going to tell you something. Taxation is good if it's righteous. Taxation is necessary if it's for a righteous cause. Taxation. But taxation to an unrighteous, unholy government, I'm going to tell you about it, but we can lie to ourselves all we want to. It just isn't true. I'm looking through Luke because that's where I think it is. It just isn't true. It just isn't true. I believe every day that we pay taxes to our government, We're in rebellion to God. Does anybody think I'm wrong?
No. Hey, Coach, I want to piggyback on what I didn't recognize the voice. It was a little bit garbled, but somebody said that the grace message is dangerous.
That was George. Yes, that was George.
Okay. George, you have no idea the amount of truth you just spoke. But it's not as simple as the grace message, because it's the lie about the grace message that is dangerous.
Yeah. There you go. There you go, Larry. That's good. And
the lie is this, that grace is God's unmerited favor. There is nothing in the Bible that says that grace is never, it can't be earned. The grace is not anything other than, because see, there's one verse that says grace is made available to all. Mm-hmm. It's in the case that it's a gift that it's made available to. Now, a Christmas present sitting under a Christmas tree with no name on it, anybody that walks up there and picks it up can claim it and take it. You know what? That's available. But not everybody in the world gets that present delivered to their doorstep.
That's right, brother.
So grace, the lie about grace is that it's free and unmerited. Now, no, what's free? Yeah, what's free is that faith that God gave you, that measure of faith. And when you activate that faith the way he wants you to, then you move into his grace. His grace isn't forced on you. You move into his grace by activating the faith he gave you. That's the free gift.
Amen. Good, well said, Larry. The Lord directed me to Matthew 17. Fellas, I'm not gonna argue about it. Because why? I'll know the truth, and the truth will set me free. I know this to be true. And I don't care what some 6-foot icicle told you. Paying taxes to a righteous government would be okay. Would be okay. America's not a righteous government anymore. It's not righteous. See, Jesus doesn't even force you to receive him. You don't, as Larry said, you don't even have to receive grace. You don't even have to. But you have to pay your taxes? What? Well, I'm going to show you right here. I'm going to set you free. Actually, I won't set you free because it's going to trouble you from this point on. I'm in Luke chapter 24. Matthew 24, I'm sorry. Matthew 17:24. Sorry, Jared. Because you're not going to believe it till I show you. Okay? Here we go. I'm going to start 21, where Jesus said, "Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting." I need to talk about fasting again. "And while they be abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And on the third day he shall be raised again." And his followers were really sorry to hear that. While they were sitting there, there came up to them some guy from Capernaum. They that received tribute money came to Peter. The tax collector shows up to Peter and says, "Hey, Peter, does your master pay taxes?" And Peter, the loudmouth, said, "Well, are you kidding me? Romans 13, he sure does. We obey all the laws." No, Peter says, "Yeah." And when he was coming into the house, Jesus stopped him and said, "Hey, Pete, come here. Hey, Pete, come here. Come over here, man, Pete. What do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Do they take taxes from their own children? Or do they take taxes from strangers?" Peter said, "Well, golly, Lord, of strangers." And Jesus said unto them, "Then are the children free." Now watch. He says, "You don't know taxes, Pete. We don't know taxes." Watch. "Notwithstanding," Jesus said, "we don't want to get in trouble here for the wrong reason, Peter. Listen, we don't want to get in trouble. I came to die on a cross for the destroy the works of the devil. So I'm not going to get caught up on some nitty-gritty tax issue. But understand, Peter, lest we should offend them, you go down to the sea and you cast in a hook and you take up a fish that comes up. And when you open his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. You take that and you go give it to them for me and for thee." So Jesus said, "I'm going to give them some money only because I'm not going to give them a reason to crucify me. I came for something bigger than money." But there is, does anybody read this any differently than me? Did Jesus say absolutely pay every bit of tax you owe? No, he didn't. He says, hey guys, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto the Lord that which is Lord's. So the question you got to ask yourself is, what belongs to the Lord? Simple, isn't it? See, that's the way the truth usually is. Simple, but it isn't easy. Hey,
Dave?
Yep.
We need roads. We probably need a military, a little bit, something. Okay.
Should they have to pay? Should you have to pay your taxes to do that, or should they have an added-on tax? Whether I don't want to buy a hat because I don't want to pay the taxes, I don't have to. There's all kinds of ways to fund things without an income tax, for heaven's sakes.
No, I agree. I agree.
But see, that's how they got a hold of us, Roger. You know what? You ready for this one? That's why mommies have to leave their homes and put their children in daycare, because they got to go to work because they got to pay taxes. You know I'm telling you the truth. If a family didn't have to pay taxes, mommy could stay home. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen, Coach. Also,
amen.
Can't you see it? Yeah.
Also, what's your opinion on Joseph and Mary happened to go to Bethlehem to pay tax?
You mean, I would say, I'd have to study that a minute. I think it was probably the same reason. Everybody just kind of did it.
Well, it was totally different than the taxes.
Yeah,
our government is imposed on us.
That's right, Larry.
The Roman tax, just like it was said earlier, that the strangers have to pay to the taxes. And that was not the Jewish tax they were paying. That was the Roman tax they were paying. We don't have that situation here.
That's right.
And Coach is absolutely right. It's not the fact that taxes are evil and bad just because they're taxes. It's the source, the reason, and circumstances about it.
Amen. And so they've brainwashed Roger into asking the question that we hear from the pulpit. Oh, boys, we need roads. We need police. We need fire protection. So therefore, we're going to raise taxes so much your wife has to put your kids into daycare and she won't see them until she gets home at 6 o'clock, and she'll spend 2 hours with them and put them in bed, and the next thing I know they'll be 10 years old and she doesn't even know her kids. That's the deception. See, it's a deception.
Coach,
this is so good, and you guys are kind of in awe. Say, oh my God, he's right. Go ahead. Yes, Lord.
My neighbor, he needs his free phone and his gas for his car. And since I love my neighbor, I'm okay.
I'll make my wife have to go to work to pay for him because he doesn't work. Hey, yes or no? Hey,
yes.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
You know, Coach, the cold hard fact is the average hardworking American works over half of the year just to pay direct and indirect taxes. I mean, how sad is that?
Don't they call that involuntary servitude? Isn't that what it is? See, and we think we're free, and we see churches paying taxes and people wanting churches to pay taxes. Now, I understand why, because most churches aren't churches. But every money, every cent that Pass the Salt Ministries has, that's God's money. That ain't the government's money. I'm sorry, guys. That's the way that I see it. We pay our taxes, but that ain't the government's money. Does anybody think I'm wrong? Isn't there a separation between the church and the state? Isn't there a separation between the church's money and the government? Well, of course there is. Hey, guys, I don't have a solution, but I see the diagnostics. I understand why we're in a mess. Okay, I said this is going to be lighthearted. I haven't been too lighthearted yet. I'm not even in the chat. Are they agreeing with me in there, Sarge? Are the chatsters agreeing with me, or are they making fun of me? I don't care what they say.
They're determining whether or not money is the root of evil.
Hey, I got a comment.
It's the love of money that is. The love of money that's the root of all evil, not money. Yeah, somebody's got a comment.
Yeah, that's me. Hey, okay. Somebody in the union recently showed me a statement, the printout from the union training itself. And I know it's hard to believe, but $11 an hour out of this guy's paycheck literally says it's going towards welfare. That's what the statement said.
It's remarkable. And I continued to make fun of it. I said, well, most of the welfare recipients aren't working and they're sleeping late. And the truth of the matter is you're buying their cigarettes every day. And considering that most of the smokers that are not working are probably smoking upwards to two packs a day, and usually there's a boyfriend or girlfriend in there, you're funding at least four packs of cigarettes a day.
It's true. Not joy. It's worse than that, Bobby. You're making your wife leave the nest to go pay for these people.
Yep.
Somebody explain to me how that's righteous, and I'll be okay with it.
It isn't.
And isn't it amazing the government takes your money before you even get it? They get their cut first. You think, is that right? And so we see a guy like Ken Hovind who goes to jail for it. And what's everybody say? Well, we're supposed to pay our taxes. Well, Ken Hovind said, I'll pay every cent I owe. Show me what I owe. I'll pay every cent of it. But I'll be doggone, Ken Hovind said. He went to jail. I'm not going to be a tax collection agency for the government. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to give them money that doesn't belong to them. I'm not going to do that. And where'd he end up? Yeah, you know where he ended up. He ended up in a slammer. That's all right. But he stood for what he believed. Pulled up there for me, Jared. Here we go. I said we're going to have a little bit of fun today. Only got about 14 minutes left, so let's have a little bit of fun here. Jared, first thing, 67 things not found in the Bible. We won't have time for all 67 of them. Remember I said fake church, fake religion, fake truth? Everything's fake. Okay, here we go. Angels with wings. Number one, angels with wings. There are angels, but no mention of wings. Or that people become angels when they die. I hear that all the time. Oh, God got him another angel today. Get that off there, Jared. And would you believe that angels are not singing at the birth of Jesus, but rather just speaking? And yes, seraphim, the burners, flame on, plural for seraphim, have wings. And no, the Bible never identifies seraphim as angels. Ditto the cherubim, who are intimidating beasts in the Bible, but turned into fat, naked, winged babies on the walls of Italian churches. Find me one place that says seraphim are angels. Two, the devil doesn't have horns and a pitchfork. Number three, any account, you will not find in the Bible any account of the battle at Armageddon. Oh, they gather for a battle, but does the Bible say that anything actually happens? Have a look. I once had coffee at the Armageddon truck stop in Israel. Yes, it's a real place and you can get gas there. Four, it says nothing about anything about female angels in the Bible. In both languages, spiritual masculinity comes out of heaven and femininity comes out of the earth. You understand that? God, man was created by God. Woman was created out of man. Woman came out of the dust of the earth. Man was formed by God. He breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living being. And then the woman was made out of man, out of the dust. Wow, that's heavy stuff, Jared. Kind of like the Christmas song, Let Earth Receive Her King, Let Heaven and Earth Nature Sing. Female angels are mostly found in gift shops on earth and, of course, with wings. Gabriel is literally, in Hebrew, God's intimidator. That's hardly a precious moment. Five, a singular apocalyptic antichrist. You will not find a single person antichrist in the Bible. Nowhere will you find that. Six, you'll never find anywhere that says any, I'm sorry, number seven, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible that people mocked Noah for building an ark. By the way, there were seven pairs that went in rather than just two. Number eight, Jesus, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus is the reason for the season. We're not sure what time of the year Jesus was even born. Nine, the word or even the concept of a halo. Where'd that come from? 10, any prohibitions against certain kinds of peripheral cuss words. Oh, this is near and dear to my heart. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is specifically mentioned and forbidden in the strongest terms. Cursing, but that was literally cursing people and things, not just dropping salty adjectives. Cursing was to say, damnation to you. That's cursing. It wasn't calling somebody an a-hole. That's not cursing. It's cursing. Putting curses on people is prohibited in the book of James, but throwing in an occasional H, S, and F words, although I try not to do them, is not specifically prohibited. Come on, man. 11, Any encouragement to celebrate Advent or Lent? Nope, not mentioned anywhere. Any English version of the Bible with God's pronoun capitalized key? I do that all the time, let alone the original versions that didn't even have an uppercase letter. 13, any mention of birth control. 14, you'll never find in the Bible the idea that God literally calls us to be our brother's keeper. Cain simply asks the question, am I my brother's keeper? It's never really answered it. Yes, you are. There's a song that says you are, but you won't find it in the Bible. Any mention of the New Testament celebrating Ash Wednesday? Was there ever an apple in the Garden of Eden? You ever find an apple in the Garden of Eden? You find that anywhere? It was an apple they ate? No, it's just a fruit. Any suggestion that clergy should perform marriages? Without a wedding is anything but a family community reception? Do you find that anywhere? Old Testament priests never perform weddings. We perform weddings because we have to satisfy the government, right? I need a marriage certificate. 18, the Bible says that those who have sex before marriage, you'll not find anywhere in the Bible that says those who have sex before marriage should indeed get married. And that once you join with someone in that way, there are permanent consequences. But a strict and specific prohibition that's cohabitation before marriage, it's hard to find. And all of we youth pastors would like to have it handy, but you can't find it anywhere. 19, for that matter, how about this one? And any ordained clergy in the early church at all? There was no ordained clergy. Jesus and Paul both were lay preachers. Remember, Jesus got in trouble because they said, you're not a preacher. You're not a rabbi. You shouldn't be doing that. Where'd that come from? Well, Paul says Jesus was a stone contractor, tecton. The latter, Paul, was likely supplied tents to the Roman army. 20, you won't find anywhere in the Bible an explanation as how we switch from worship on Saturday to Sunday. 21, that Jesus was just a poor carpenter. That's an inaccurate English translation of the word tecton. He was a builder, a contractor, likely stones, and he wasn't poor. Any sense that communion, baptism, sin management so we can get to heaven someday were central to Jesus' teaching. He did mention these things, but clearly his core teaching was always about the kingdom, the Creator's creative and sustaining power in the universe. His main purpose seemed to be to convince us to have the faith to share and operate in this power. The kingdom is like a mustard seed, he said. You won't find anywhere the fish which Jonah swallowed and identified as a whale. He's just a fish. You'll never find Jesus ever uttering the word grace. There you go, Larry, George. 25, you'll never find any word for faith as we understand it in the Old Testament. 26, you'll never find discipleship, a word which is made up, and it's based on military, Latin mistranslation of Matthias, students. Any clear doctrine of original sin, you won't find any clear doctrine of little original sin, let alone total depravity. Well, sure, there are proof texts that you can find to support it, but there's tension with the fact that we are made in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, and behold, God saw it, it was good. That makes people nervous. You'll never find anywhere, 27, that the shepherds and wise men visiting the baby Jesus at the same time. Wise men came way later. Or that a number of wise men was three. I just saw this error, three wise men walking through the shepherds to visit Jesus in the manger, watching the movie Ben-Hur last night. Most people ignore the fact that magi are Zoroastrian holy people. 28, you'll never find in the Bible anything that specifically says Jesus was single. There's no evidence either way. Very few ancient records of any famous people bother to mention his spouse. 29, you'll never find, you understand that? It's never mentioned, we just assume it. The fact that we live in heaven forever. No matter what your end time view, we end up on a renewed earth at the end. We don't end up in heaven! Heaven is at best a way station in the Bible to our ultimate destiny, which is the kingdom here on earth.
Amen.
You'll never find any suggestion that we should dress up for church. You'll never find any prohibition of gambling. Now, we can agree that it's wrong, but you're not going to find that in the Bible. You'll never find any record of a vote in the early church. They'd rather cast lots for big decisions, nor any votes at congregational business meetings. 33, you'll never find any liturgy. Jesus never mentions an order of worship. 34, you'll never find any overwhelming proof that Jesus was poor. Most evidence suggests just the opposite. 35, you'll never find any mention of Mary remaining a virgin after Jesus' birth, ever. You'll never find that. 36, you'll never find any direct mention or description of an abortion or comment upon the issue for that sake. Thou shalt not murder. 37, you'll never find any record of a confirmation class or confirmation ceremony. Same thing with First Communions. You'll never find any direct link of Mary Magdalene being a prostitute or woman of ill repute. Ditto any direct mention that Herodias' daughter was doing any kind of suggestive dance. It's just movies have made us believe this stuff. You never find any place where the original languages of the Bible say that a person is possessed by an evil spirit. It usually just says a person has an unclean spirit or something like that. But we all have unclean spirits. They don't have us. Most modern translations which use the word possessed were published after the movie The Exorcist. Wow. I talked to Russ about that one. You'll never find any specific mention of transgenderism, although men and women are forbidden from wearing each other's clothes. Sorry, boy George. You'll never find any sense that Jesus wanted the government to take care of the poor. That should be the church's job. You'll never find any record, anything Jesus said in his native language, except for Abba, Talitha Kumi, Raka, Mama, Jot and Tittle, and Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. His teachings and sayings were written down by Greek speakers. You'll never find anyone praying with their hands folded. You'll never find pews or pulpits. You'll never find the saying, God helps those who help themselves. That was Benjamin Franklin, not God. We're going to stop there, Jared. There's 22 more of them.
And that 22 more, do you ever see a mention of a prayer warrior? Or do you ever hear of a prayer chain in the Bible?
49, you'll never find any blanket prohibition of drinking alcohol. You'll never, 46, you'll never hear anybody say God can't give you more than you can bear. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You'll never find that. Any prohibition of conscious altering, though external or internal means. Drunkenness is discouraged, but never controlled, altered states. We alter our consciousness through prayer, going to movies, reading imaginative books. 51, any mention that church leaders should wear different clothing, collars. Anything that says church music should be reflective, subdued, or played on an organ. 53, anywhere that says women can't wear pants. 54, any mention that women should work at home. 55, any specific age of accountability for baptism, or even that concept. Any command that baptism has to be submersion. Paul was baptized in a home which likely had no running water. Of course, only people in the New World were smoking tobacco, a substance and totally unknown to the writers of the Bible. But using your body as a temple should forbid smoking, and junk food for that matter too. And he mentioned that there should be separate departments in the church, kids department, Sunday school, youth groups, men's, women's. The word of, you never find any mention of the word or explicit description of the Holy Trinity, although it's in there. You'll never see it mentioned. Elijah taken up in a chariot. He was taken up in a whirlwind. God changing Saul's name to Paul. Paulos or Shorty was just his Greek trade business nickname. Imagine, oh, Saul, from now on, thou shalt be named Shorty. 62, that word wine associated with cup and Last Supper. Fruit of the vine is probably wine, but the Bible does not make that connection. 63, Jesus' command to baptize mentioning water. Could be spiritual baptism. See Mark 1 through 8. You find no mention of the rapture. You'll find anything, you'll not find anything that mentions Jesus had long hair or a beard. You won't find anything in the phrase personal relationship with Jesus. 67, you won't find any record of anyone ending a sermon in the church inviting people to receive Jesus into their hearts. That was perfected by Finney and Billy Graham over years and years ago. So there you are, man. Fake religion. Hey, Coach. It's everywhere. Yeah.
Coach, hey, I don't know if I can keep being on this show. You're messing up my theology.
It's crazy, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? Religion. We got so much religion.
It's all so much screwed religion. Up.
It is, and we'll say, and listen, I'm not against it, guys, but you're going to know the truth. Truth's going to make you free. Truth's going to make you free. I had some guy tell me, anytime you see a guy who has to wear a costume to be some minister, run from him. You won't find anywhere in a place where you have to wear a collar. You have to put on a suit. It's all religion. It's all religion. So I know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So when you go to church this Sunday, you're going to be mad at me because you're not going to be comfortable looking at all the stuff going on around you and asking yourself this question. Why do we do it this way? Whose idea was this? Is this really necessary? God bless you. See you Monday morning.